Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. To start our episode today, I want to tell you a story told by a nature writer named Lauren Isley. The story is called The Star Thrower, and it goes like this. Once upon a time, a boy was walking on the beach and saw hundreds of starfish washed up on the sand. He noticed a man throwing starfish back into the ocean, one by one. The boy asked, "Why are you doing that? There are so many. It won't make a difference." The man smiled and picked up another starfish, gently tossing it into the water. "It made a difference to that one," he said. I like this story because it reminds me that even if it seems like there are lots of problems to solve and lots of people and animals to help, we can still make a difference one by one. Today, we're going to talk to someone who saw an animal in trouble, like the starfish in our story, and decided to help. You'll see just how big a difference he made.
My whole life is devoted in various ways to actually saving wildlife or working on this enormous problem of what's happening to the living world. This was not an attempt to save the world. This was an attempt to save one little owl.
This is Carl Safina. He's a professor and author, and as he mentioned, he spends a lot of his time figuring out how to make the world a better place for animals. One day, Carl was given the opportunity to help one little animal in particular, a baby screech owl named Alfie.
Well, Alfie was rescued as a dying chick on a front lawn, somebody's front lawn, 5 years ago. When she was found, she was maybe 12 days old, I'm guessing, and she could easily just fit in the palm of your hand.
The people who found Alfie on their lawn in Long Island, New York, decided to call a wildlife rehabilitator to help, kind of like an emergency doctor for animals.
The rehabilitator stabilized her, did a really, really good job of bringing her back from near death. Her down was completely matted, her eyes were closed. The rehabilitator texted me saying, "Do you know what kind of bird this is?" Because she was so messed up looking. But she was found in the nick of time. People often do things that hurt other living things, but once in a while we do things that help them, and this was one of those times.
Even though the rehabilitator had helped stabilize Alfie, she was in no shape to go back out into the wild.
I didn't know if she was going to live. I didn't know if she was going to fly. She had a developmental delay that made it impossible for her to fly. Her feathers didn't come in right the first time.
Even with all of these problems, Carl and the rehabilitator believed that Alfie might have a chance to recover and do all the things that owls normally do. She just needed a place where she could learn and grow at a slower pace without being threatened by predators. So Carl decided that Alfie would move in with his family. When you add an owl to your family household, there are some decisions you have to make. Where they'll live, what they'll eat, stuff like that.
Our main decision was no cage. She never had any sense of confinement. I don't even remember exactly where she was kept at first. I think she was in a sort of a soft mesh cubicle that could go on a table, just so she wouldn't wander and fall anywhere. But she was out all the time when we were around. And then as she got a little bit bigger and could move around on her own, she was out all the time. And the only other consideration at that point is quality food. You can't just open a can of dog food. There are people who sell rodents. They sell frozen rodents mostly for people who have pet reptiles, snakes, and a few lizards that eat rodents. And you can easily go online and find a supply. And that's what we did. And then you add a little vitamin drop to each one. And if you have anything fresh, you can give them. Like catching crickets was something that I did. Every once in a great while, we have a mouse that's making a hole in our birdseed bags, and I caught a couple of mice and gave them to her fresh.
With all the fresh food and space to hop around, Alfie was getting stronger and stronger. Soon, she grew feathers and was able to fly around the house. At that point, Carl realized that they could move her to a new area and help her develop some other owl skills, like hunting. To start, Carl would tie a string to a frozen mouse, pulling it around to encourage Alfie to swoop after it.
I wanted to make sure that she understood that she needs to catch mice. We moved her outside to part of our chicken coop, the outside screened part of our chicken coop. And I wanted to make sure that she always was in practice with her capabilities for being a real owl and living the life she was born to live. I wanted to make sure that she knew how to hunt and that she was skilled at catching things that were moving.
To help Alfie move on to catching actual mice, Carl poured bird seed in the corner of the chicken coop. Soon, mice came in to eat the spilled bird seed, and Alfie had a chance to practice for real.
I know she caught a couple of mice in the coop because I found their remains. So I wanted to make sure that she remained capable of, as I said, living the life that she was born to live.
As Alfie started to become more and more independent, Carl and his family started leaving the door to the coop open to the backyard, just to see how she would react.
She was very, very comfortable in that screened part of the chicken coop. She never tried to get out. I think she just felt very at home. Earlier that summer, I started opening the door and letting her come to me for food. Sometimes she'd go up in a tree and I'd coax her down with the mouse on a string. And I never knew. It was always touch and go. I never knew if this was going to be the last time I'd ever see her. Maybe she would just take off and never come back. And I was very worried about her because even wild owls that are raised by their parents, like most birds, you know, their chances of survival are not very good, especially in their first year. A lot can go wrong. But it was either have her live a totally unnatural life and no chance at contributing anything to the next generations, or the danger and perhaps the exhilaration of being free.
It was up to Alfie to make that decision. She could stay in the chicken coop where she would be fed and happy, but not quite a real screech owl, or she could go out into the world, wild and free.
I know the first time she did not land on my hand for food, but actually just went up into a tree, she was taking a lot of very long, good looks around. It was exhilarating to her. She was interested in a totally new view of the world that she was getting. She went back in the coop for a few times on her own because that was home. And then she stopped doing that.
Alfie decided to leave the chicken coop, and Carl wondered if he would ever see her again.
The first thing I feared was she would just bolt. And then who knows whether she would be able to take care of herself. Very soon after we left the door open, she did not come back for a week. But then she returned. When she returned, she was not starving. She was not thin. She was good. She just felt that our place was home and no other screech owl female was holding down that territory.
Alfie was back. Even if she wasn't living in the chicken coop, Alfie felt that Carl's backyard was home. And because no other female screech owls had claimed the territory, she decided to stay there. This seemed to be the best possible situation because Alfie could live as a wild owl and Carl could still spend time watching her.
Her first free-flying year coincided with the shutdowns due to COVID, so all of my travel was canceled. I wasn't going anywhere for work. The class I teach was online. I was home and there was an owl newly free living in our backyard, an owl that I knew very, very well. They're mostly active, screech owls anyway, are mostly active right before dawn and right around sundown. Kind of like a lot of birds are at the beginning of the day and then they're less active in the middle of the day. Well, they're the same except it's at night for them. And I got up. Usually in the dark, I'd go outside, I'd locate her by her calling to me or me calling to her. often she would just come right over and land in a tree a few feet away from me when I just stepped out the back door.
As Carl kept up his relationship with Alfie, he got to see her live like an owl normally would. This included finding a mate and having baby owls.
I'd watch the interactions with her and this new mate that she had. They're very, very extended courtship, very tentative with each other at first, and then much more committed. The mate began doing a lot of the feeding. I'd be up watching them for a couple of hours in the morning, 2 or 3 hours at night. That's 5 hours a day. That's kind of a lot of watching. And with one owl that was completely tame, you could just sit literally right next to her, and the male was taking his cues from her. So if she was relaxed around me, he quickly got pretty relaxed around me. If I was 30 feet away, he would do his normal thing. He'd come and bring her food and things like that, that you would never, never, never normally see. And if you ever saw it, you might see it once. You wouldn't see it 2 or 3 times a night for weeks on end.
Soon, Alfie had baby owls to take care of, and Carl was able to watch her teach them to be healthy adult owls.
She has laid 4 clutches of eggs. She has hatched and fledged 10 young ones. So she has had a really good life so far, very, very much the life she was born to have.
The sick, broken little owl that Carl chose to help grew into a strong, healthy mother owl. And while Carl is happy about the baby owls and the happy life Alfie has lived, he's also grateful for the impact that Alfie has had on his life.
The last time was just last night that I heard her singing right outside our bedroom window a little after midnight. We see her pretty frequently. I have not seen her now for probably a couple of weeks, but we hear her almost every night. She's so enriched my experience the last 5 years to, you know, to go out in the backyard and have a little owl come over because she wants to be near you. That's just fantastic. It's like a fantasy.
When Carl rescued one little screech owl, he didn't know the impact that choice would have on Alfie, future generations of screech owls, and his own life. The story of Alfie and Carl reminds us that we can make a difference when we help animals and people, one by one.
Little baby owl, hurt and alone, found a human who gave her a wonderful home. You can find them together.
A quick word for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode for kids because Constant Wonder contains a whole lot of great stuff that obviously kids are going to love, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode for you devoted to Carl Safina and his relationship with Alfie, as well as other owl stories. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. The episode is called Owls and Awe. We actually think that you're going to love more than just one episode of our podcast. It's an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Do you remember when you had time for wonder? Well, I think you probably still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.